Ladies, I appreciate that. Joshua 24, okay? Joshua 24. So if you're sitting thinking, you know, okay, the theme is As For Me In My House, and Pastor's going to speak a little bit about that tonight. Maybe you even already figured that out. Joshua chapter 24. And Andrew, do me a favor, brother. Run back there, grab one of those calendars off the table for me. Joshua chapter 24. Find that place in your Bible if you are able to stand with me in honor of God's word. Let's do that. I'm going to read one verse. And this message tonight will be just a little bit about just introducing the truth of this matter. But then some things that we want to do as a church, hopefully to enhance our family spiritual life this year. Verse 15, Joshua says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As for me and my house. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in church. Help us this year as we emphasize the all-important matter of family. God, I pray that you will help every family to make progress this year in this matter of drawing close to you, serving you, being used by you. Thank you for every family represented here. And Lord, there are all kinds. Thank you for the ones that are here tonight. Bless those that are ill, not well. Bring them back to us soon. We'll thank you. Be with us in the message. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. You know, every verse in the Bible is as important as any other. I would not call any of God's word outdated. I would not refer to any of God's word as non-essential or irrelative. I wouldn't do that. Some parts are not written to us, but they are written for us. And God said it's all inspired, all scriptures inspired and profitable in one way or the other. That being said, there are some passages, verses, stories, even phrases that are more well known than others. Even the lost world knows some of Psalm 23. Even the lost world knows that. Somebody mentioned, I forget who it was recently, was at a football game and saw John 3:16, when they kicked the field goal, John 3:16. Sometimes you'll see that on barns in rural areas as you travel down the interstate, you'll see John 3:16 and painted on barn roofs. And, you know, some phrases and verses, they make it onto plaques that hang in homes and even some public buildings. And such is the case with the phrase that will be used as the theme for our church this year. We're using that phrase, "as for me and my house." You see it there at the end of verse number 15. Now, you know the setting here, most of you. God has used Joshua to enter the promised land with the children of Israel. Pardon me. Conquer it. Divide and settle the promised land and got them all in there. That was no small feat. It was difficult enough to deal with the Israelites themselves, let alone the enemies that they encountered. But it's pretty much done now. And Joshua is not going to live much longer. So he gathers all Israel together in Shechem and he's going to deliver a message from God to the Israelites. And here's the message in this part of the chapter. They are to fear the Lord. And they're to serve him in sincerity and in truth. And they are to put away the gods, little g, that their fathers served from long ago. Both Chaldean gods, Egyptian gods. I don't know what all that means. Possibly some of the children of Israel had kept idols or images or pictures of these false gods, brought them out of Egypt with them. I don't know, but Joshua said, look, he said, you need to put away the gods that your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood. And then he also said, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. So maybe they're serving some of the gods of the people that they're living in the land there. All right. And these children of these Israelites are trying to keep these gods hidden and out of view from everybody. You know, that's impossible because God sees everything. God sees anything that we try to hide, keep away from somebody else. And so God leads Joshua, he said, to tell him, you need to put those gods away. And then he says, look, you choose which God you're going to serve. And if it seems evil to them, if it seems evil to you to serve Jehovah God, then you choose what God you're going to serve. Because you're going to serve some God. So choose one. Now for Joshua, his mind is made up. His decision is made. He's crossed over. As for me. But he's not going alone. He's taking his family with him. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If it seemed evil to serve the Lord, then choose whatever God you think is best to serve and serve. The word evil here is not a synonym for wrong or sin. That's not what it is. It means good for nothing. So what he said to them was, look, if you think serving Jehovah God is a waste of time, then you choose a God that you feel like serving is worthy of your time and your effort and serve him. So serve the God that you believe is worth serving. But personally, it's almost like, you know, Joshua's kind of getting toward the end of his life, and he's kind of like, you know, I've been with you folks a long time, and some of you just haven't got it. It just hadn't dawned on you. So, you know, whatever God you want to serve, just go serve him. I'm done pleading. I'm done begging. I'm done trying to help you. You just go serve him. You pick a God out that you think's worthy, and you give him your time, your honor. But as for me, my mind's made up. My decision is made. I'm going to serve God, and Joshua's choice included his family as well. Now, folks, it goes without saying, one of the most secure elements of a strong foundation for any society of people is a family unit that is committed to serving Jehovah God. America's demise as a nation, I believe, now this may be not supported scripturally, from this passage. But America's demise as a nation, in my opinion, can be linked to a decaying family unit. And in particular, decaying in any kind of relationship with Jehovah God. Any kind. Now, there's all kinds of research things that you can get involved with, you know, on the internet. And I went to some of them that are more popular, maybe more reliable. You've heard of the Pew Research Center, okay? They're a nonpartisan group, supposedly, that does research on various kinds of topics. And the statistics that I'm about to give you were from research that was published in December of 2015. So they're over 6 years old, all right? Over 6 years old. But this is what they said, the Pew Research Center. This is not a preacher. This is a research center, supposedly nonpartisan, all right? Two-parent households are on the decline in the United States as divorce, remarriage, and cohabitation are on the rise. Yeah, I see that. And then they said there is no longer one dominant family form in the United States. In 1960, the height of post-World War II baby boom, at that time, there was one dominant family form. We're talking about 1960. Okay, I was born living at that time. Many of you were as well. At that time, 1960, 73% of all children were living in a family with two married parents who were in their first marriage. 73%. Three out of every four children were in a two-parent home. Parents were in their first marriage. 73%. That's a pretty good foundation. By 1980, that was down to 61%. And in 2015, it was 46%. So less than half of the children living in the United States are living in a two-parent home where the parents are in their first marriage. Now, I'm not trying to make divorced people feel bad tonight. I'm not trying to put you on any kind of guilt trip. But you cannot deny that that kind of thing doesn't take its toll on a family. And this cohabitation thing, it's taking its toll on our society. Okay. The declining share of children living in what is often deemed a traditional family has been largely supplanted. These are not my words, they're there. Largely supplanted by the rising number of children living with single or cohabiting parents. Now, you take that group of statistics right there, and now we're going to go to the Barna group. You've heard of that research group, the Barna group. And they did a research about families attending church, and they divided them into two categories. The first category was the practicing Christian. That's their terminology. The practicing Christian category. Again, this is what I'm reading to you is off their website. That category numbers 63.5 million people. And they are people who are, in their words, the most committed to their faith. Now, here's what the kicker that just went. This group attends church a minimum of once a month and says their faith is extremely important to them. Okay? That's a practicing Christian. It's difficult to comprehend that a family can fall into the most committed group by attending once a month. And it's confusing how a family can say their faith is very important to them and yet only attend services once a month. I think to any Bible-believing Christian, that's hard to believe. Now, the other category is what Barna calls the unchurched adults. This group numbers 124.4 million, twice the size of the practicing Christian group. And remember, the practicing Christian group goes to church at least once a month. And this churched adult group that's 124.4 million, They attend church at least once in a six-month period. So Barna has defined them as churched adults. You go to church one time in 6 months, and you're a churched adult. You know when that happens? Christmas and Easter. That's what they said. The bulk of that attendance takes place at Christmas and Easter. Now, people, those are two different research groups and two different things that they're researching. But put the two together. You combine the impact of those two researches, and it gives you an idea as to why the family unit is in severe decline. The situation at home, coupled with any hardly church attendance, leads to a disaster in the making for a family. And many of those, how many of those attending church, those practicing Christians who go once a month, how many of them are hearing anything, any truth from God's Word? And here's something alarming as well. In this research done by the Barna Group, among those two groups, practicing Christians and churched adults. And again, you're a churched adult if you go to church once in 6 months. There is a rising sentiment that church services are irrelevant to their personal lives. Not applicable, not pertinent, not helpful. In the churched adult group, the Christmas and Easter only group, 57% say church services are irrelevant to their family needs. Well, you would expect that. You go to church once every six months. If you go to Christmas and Easter, you're going to hear a message on the resurrection, crucifixion, message on Christ's birth. And, those things are a blessing. You don't downplay the resurrection. You don't downplay Christ's virgin birth. But 57% of them say, we go once every 6 months, and the services are irrelevant. They're not applicable. They're not practical. They're not pertinent. But I'll tell you something more alarming. In the practicing Christian group, you know, that group most committed because they go once a month to church, 45%, almost a half, say the services are irrelevant to their personal and family needs. Almost half. And I believe I know why. There's no biblically based preaching and teaching in most of these churches. I'm not trying to say I'm not saying that we're the only one. I'm just saying, look, this book right here is very relevant. It's pertinent. It's applicable. It's helpful. It's practical to personal, individual, and family needs because it's truth. And truth is always relevant, it's always pertinent, it's always applicable, it's always helpful, it's always significant, it's always important. And if the Bible is preached, it'll have a positive impact on the family. It will. And that's going to be a prevailing theme throughout this year. And we were praying and just looking over things with the calendar meetings and got our heads together, and you know, it came up that some people had asked for the series that I did back in 2000 on the ABCs of the family. That was before the days of all the technology that we have today when it comes to recording. I'm not going to re-preach those messages, but I'm going to revisit those truths. And we're going to hear messages on the family over and over and over and over again. You say, well, Brother Angel, I don't have any children at home. Listen, you can't disconnect yourself from biblical truth because you don't think you fit the objective of the message. Truth is always helpful, folks. And if it doesn't fit a particular need that for that moment in your life, you may have the opportunity to pass it on someday to help somebody else. Okay? And I understand. I look around this congregation. Not every family unit sitting here is husband and wife in their first marriage. They have some single parent homes. I get that. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. I believe what will be preached, when it comes to marriage, what will be preached when it comes to children, what will be preached when it comes to interpersonal relationships in the family will be helpful for anybody who just comes with an open heart. And I'm going to tell you, we need it. And to think that a church like ours needs no help rearing children and families is sadly mistaken. Okay. I want to look at this real quick. Joshua said, as for me and my house. Look, number one, let me say this tonight. Serving God as a family is a choice. It's a choice. Joshua said, choose you. Serving God individually, personally, as a family is a choice. It's not something that falls into your lap. It's not something that happens on accident. It's not something that happens by osmosis. Having a family that serves God is the result of a choice. And all of us are able, and I'm not saying that you just flip a switch, and just because dad says means everybody's going to fall in line. No, but it has to start with a choice. It's got to start with a choice. And that's what I'm saying tonight. All of us are able to make proper and right choices when it comes to our families, our homes. Notice this choice started with Joshua. And that's the ideal situation. The ideal situation is when dad chooses, you know what, I don't know what all God's going to do, but my family is going to serve the Lord. Mom comes alongside to help embody and embrace the truth, the choice that began with dad. And then the kids follow the example that's modeled by the parents. And that is the ideal best case scenario. Okay? But I will say something. Even if things aren't ideal and best case in your family, a choice can still be made to serve God. You don't just quit and give up because you look around the room and we're not like them and I'm not like him, I'm not like her. Folks, God is able to help overcome so many difficulties. I don't know how anybody can go to this church and not believe that God can help you in your situation, no matter what it is. When these three ladies come back through our church and visit from Brazil and from Carterville and from Saginaw, Michigan, and you see them living for God, and you realize the help that God was to that lady out there. See those girls turn out like that. You don't just throw your hands up in the air. I'm not in a first marriage situation, and I'm single, and we've been through a divorce, and you know, it won't work. Stop it. You got a great big God. And if you just follow biblical truth and follow biblical principle the best you can, God's a difference maker. He makes up the default. Okay? He makes it up. It's a choice. There's no good reason why a family does not choose to serve God. None. Well, our situation, stop it. Well, you know, no, there's no good reason. There are reasons why some do not make that choice, but not one of them has any merit. We are influenced by the temptation of the world and by people around us and by the spirit of this age. I get all that, but we can still make the choice to serve God. And again, I'm not saying you flip a switch and it just takes place, all this, but it's got to start somewhere. And it starts by somebody deciding, my family's going to serve God. It starts with a choice. So serving God as a family is a choice. Second of all, serving God as a family is a daily choice. Look at what he said in verse 15. Choose you. What's the next two words? This day. This day. Can I say one of the biggest hindrances to serving God as a family is inconsistency? This is not a choice that is made once, put on autopilot, and left alone. This is a choice that needs daily attention. And if the choice is made every day, that ensures consistency. And people, consistency is a trait on which kids can thrive. Kids can thrive on consistency. You know, when all it takes as far as church attendance goes is one service a month to be considered a practicing Christian, it's no wonder the youth of our country are losing interest in church. There's no consistency in that. You know, parents teach their kids that sports and special events and extended family gatherings are more important than church services by involving family in all of those things instead of just faithfully, week after week, service after service, death, just be where you're supposed to be. The consistency of it. And I know that is unpopular in this modern day world we live in today, this idea of weekend getaways and four-day vacations. We don't want to take any time off work, but we'll take time off church. And I'm not against vacations. I've been here 31 years. Y'all know that. They're healthy for a family. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. When missing services even becomes semi-normal, you're taking a risk of your children thinking church is not as important as it should be. And it's not just church. Daily choice makes every day of the week a special day for living for and serving God. Our lives are not a pie divided into several slices of which God is one. No. 10,000 times no. If that's your mental approach to this thing, that my life is a pie and serving God as a slice. In fact, he even gets the biggest slice. No. God is the pie. And every way that my life is sliced up is centered around God. Every bit of it. Every bit of it. It's all God-centered. And all the slices of life at home are God-centered and revolve around him. And you can call a slice whatever you want to call it. Call it marriage, call it kids, work, hobby, recreation, education, relaxation, whatever, it doesn't matter. All of the slices are connected to God and are related to him. And this is a daily choice. We're going to serve God. We're going to serve God. So serving God is a choice. And serving God is a daily choice. And our lives are built around it. And I don't care how you slice it, dice it, or cut it. If your life revolves around serving God, then to some degree your life is going to revolve around the local church because you can't separate that from living for God. Can't do it. Won't happen. So serving God is a choice. And serving God is a daily choice. And then let me say number three tonight. Serving God as a family is an inclusive choice. Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. As husband and dad, hey, now listen, don't you fall into the philosophy of this age. Well, who does he think he is? No. As husband and dad, Joshua did right by speaking for his family when he said, as for me and my house. This equal rights fueled philosophy that's out of hell, trying to strip the man of his authority, and even strip man of his masculinity, and the God-given built-in desire that God put in each man to lead his home. It's in us. And for it to be stripped away and made fun of and mocked and debunked is wrong. It's sinful. Joshua was not some chauvinistic pig because he stood up and said, as for me and my house. No, he was fulfilling his rightful position as the leader in that home. And that's where it starts, Dad. It starts with us. Husbands, dads need to take the lead in this matter of serving God. He said it right. When he said, we are doing this together. Dad does not send his kids to church. He takes them to church. Mom reads her Bible, and so does the teenager, using the devotional guide passed out by the youth pastor or whatever. The music that plays in the house is not one genre for the parents and another genre for the kids. We are serving the Lord together as a family right here in this house. And any man that says that is in his rightful position. Now, you do it with grace. You don't scream and holler and yell, I'm the boss. If you have to say that, you're not the boss. But do not fail, fellas, to step up into your position. Joshua was right when he said it that way. We are going to pray before we eat. We are going to work to keep a Christ-like spirit in the house. We are going to honor the Bible and the local church. We are not going to leave our kids to themselves to decide on their own what is right and what is wrong. We means we know the biblical chain of command for the family and we practice it. Choose to have a Christian home. Make it a daily choice. Make it an inclusive choice. Choose it together. Include the whole family. And 2022 is a year in which we're going to emphasize this thing of, as for me and my house, we will serve. Well, if you've chosen that before, then revisit your choice. Choose it again. How can it be better implemented? What needs to be improved? What needs touching up? What needs to be included that I've left out? What needs to be excluded that I put into it? And here at the church, we don't have all the answers, but we're going to try and put forth the effort to help, every family undertake this matter of serving the Lord together. Again, you're going to hear a lot of preaching on it this year. If you I don't want to hear anything on the family, well, bring some AirPods and listen to Joel Osteen. I don't know what you're going to do. Okay? No, don't do that. Really, I'll have to call you out. But I would think, with as many young families as we have here, that your heart would be saying, help me. Help me. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about this book. Okay? So we're going to try to preach and teach the truths of God's Word. I'm not going to preach those exact messages from 22 years ago, but we're going to revisit those truths because I'm going to tell you, folks, what worked in 2000 works today when it comes to truth. That doesn't change. We're going to have some things. You look on your calendar. Would you please, ladies, would you please circle the dates on this calendar where you see a ladies and girls activity? I don't see the one in February. Didn't make it to the. We didn't put those on here, Nelby. We didn't. Okay. So we don't have them listed on here, but we have meetings this year, and we are working to make these meetings extremely helpful to every lady when it comes to your family. Okay? My wife will be speaking at most of them. Maybe not all of them. And they're going to be for you ladies. Husbands, you need to help your wife be able to get here. This is not going to be, come and do your nail type thing. This is going to be come and hear something. Yes, there'll be some fun. Yes, there'll be some activity, game, fun and laughter. But there's going to be some help, some time for truth to help you in your family life. I'm talking about single adults, married, single ladies, married ladies. I want you to be there. We're going to have some things for the men throughout the years. We're calling it a prayer breakfast, but we're not getting together just to pray. We're getting together to speak and teach what men need to hear, what young men need to hear about family life. We've got a couple of special events throughout the year for families. This summer, we're going to try to use some time after church on a Sunday night, 3 or 4 times during the summer, to promote a family time here at the church, have a good fellowship. We're trying to promote family activity. We're going to give away the basket each month. And that's for a purpose. And every month it's going to be redesigned to fit a different, there's probably 3 or 4 different family categories that we're just trying to help. To emphasize this strong churches are made up of strong families. And strong families are helped by a strong church. That's that bottom line. So we're going to give a lot of attention to it this year. So if you've not made that choice, if you really have never even given any significant thought to this thing, It has to be a choice. You know what? Some of you young men, you young adult men sitting out here with the families now of your own, you're brought up in an environment where your family, the one that you grew up in, served God. But have you ever thought about making that choice for yourself? In your own family, you realize Larry Johnson had to make that choice? He didn't grow up in that. He had to choose it. And others of you came out of unsaved families where you had to choose it. Okay? But a lot of you grew up in places where it was already kind of decided when you were little boys. Maybe you need to give some thought to this. I've never really thought. I'm a husband. I'm a father now. Yeah. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to live for the Lord. Revisit it. Commit yourself to it. Come with an open heart to the services. Take part in the special events and the activities that are planned. It's all going to be designed to try to help every family in this church have a great year of serving God. Let's pray together. Father, bless, I pray, the message. Bless this year. Lord, we give it to you. We don't know how long we'll have in this year. Maybe we'll be in heaven before year's up with you, Lord Jesus. You'll come get us. I don't know. But Lord, I pray that we won't miss the opportunity this year that's in front of us to learn, to be helped, to be encouraged, to be corrected if need be, make the changes that need to be made. And I pray for every family unit in this building. And there's all different variables. And I pray, regardless, God, whatever family unit they're in right now, that this will be a year they choose to serve you. So speak to our hearts. Help us, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The altar is always open for somebody that needs to be saved. The altar is always open for somebody that's been saved to be baptized. Maybe you just want to kneel tonight and say, Lord, if that's what we're going to do this year at church, I give myself to it. I want my family. I want me and my family to serve you. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Altar is open for a few moments before.